Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And yet, here we are again on another lazy Sunday talking about haunt stuff. And if you can notice, there's something different about the way I'm talking or sounding. It's because I am recording this rather sick.
Yeah. You've had a cold all weekend.
Maybe not like deathly ill sick. I'm not like curled up in the fetal position in the bed sick. But yes, if I cough more, if I blow my nose a few dozen times.
I think we get the idea.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those weeks. So I apologize for any grossness that comes through the microphone. I will do the best that I can. Well, too bad we do not have an editing budget. But yes, we are back. Episode number 54, a topic dear to our hearts.
Right.
Haunting and disabilities, talking about helping people with disabilities enjoy haunted attractions.
Correct.
Now, one thing that came up as I was assembling the show notes, one thing I actually really wanted to talk about, was haunt actors with various disabilities.
Right.
And we have seen them used in various ways.
Yeah, some really cool ways.
But that really, really got far afield when I started trying to do that with this podcast. So it's a topic now for a future episode.
Yep.
You know, I was really worried when we started this we would run out of crap to talk about. If we could just make it 1 year, if we could just make it 1 year. 1 year later, we have a longer topic list than ever.
That's what happens. In fact, I don't think we've even gotten through half of the first
list. I don't think we've even gotten half of the original. When we started the podcast, we did like the brainstorming session.
Yeah.
We're like, that's a good idea. We're doing a podcast. I'm doing that's a good idea. And we're going back and forth.
Yeah.
And we came up with a list. We've done maybe half to a little bit over
not
half.
Not even that, I don't think.
I don't think we've done a little bit over half, honest. But still, there's a significant portion of that list undone.
Yeah.
Plus the crap, every time on this episode, I go, Crystal, add that to the list. A, an angel gets its wings. And B, she actually does add it to the list, and the list grows faster than we can actually talk about things. Especially considering we don't always pull from the topic list.
Right.
But this actually was one, I think, from the original topic list way back when, or a variation of it.
Yes.
So we are looking for, we've been wanting to do this one since day one, coming to it now. Seemed like a great opportunity for us. But first, as is our custom here, conference reminders.
Yeah, conference reminders.
I believe I led last week, so you lead this one.
I believe you're correct.
Ladies first, so I'll go. No.
All right. January 14th through 17th, we have Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans at the Convention Center. There will be 350 vendors. It requires a business verification. Easy to get whenever you go to HalloweenPartyExpo.com. If you're in town, let us know. We'd love to meet you.
Yes. Please, please, please drop us a message. We are on Twitter at Haunt Weekly, and we are on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We will meet up, gladly do what we can. Now, I will say we will have family in town those days.
Right.
But they go to bed early. We can work something out.
Yes.
We can make this happen. Just bear with us.
Yep.
But if New Orleans isn't your speed, you can go to the Corn Party January 17th through 20th. It's on multiple islands in Hawaii. It's for operators of corn mazes. And if you are so inclined, you can learn more at The Maze. That's T-H-E-M-A-I-Z-E. Like maze. Corn is maze. Get it?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
I know.
.com.
I think it's more of a pun.
More, yes, it's something.
It's
I don't
funny.
Know if it's really either of those things, honestly.
I think it's just a statement, or another word for corn.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, so then January 26th through the 30th, we have HauntCon in Nashville, Tennessee. Tours of Haunted Hell Nashville, Nashville Nightmare, and Slaughterhouse. More information at HauntCon.com.
Yes, indeed. One of Leonard Pickle's great haunted attraction conventions. Definitely well worth checking out. And then we have another one of the big daddies of the haunted attraction convention circuit, Transworld. Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show, or just Transworld, as everyone calls it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't know the full name until we started this podcast.
Yeah.
But yes, it'll be March 23rd through 26th in St. Louis, Missouri, the America Center. get those early bird discounts by not by signing up, you know, before the day of the conference.
Right.
Also, new this year on the trade show floor, one quarter of the trade show floor, it will be Escape Room City. It's a zone all about escape rooms, featuring escape room vendors and escape room ideas and escape room stuff. So if you're looking at getting in the escape room business, might be a good thing to check out.
Yeah.
You can learn more at the Ha Show, HAAshow.com.
Right. I just remember the first time I heard about, you know, somebody used Transworld. Are you going to Transworld? And I was really confused for a minute being part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's one thing. Be very careful Googling this conference, too, while we're at this. Use the full names, all I'm saying.
All right. Then May 1st through 5th, we have Room Escape Conference and Tour. It's in Niagara Falls, New York, and Niagara Falls Conference Center and Event Center. Tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. Now, you heard the word Canada, so you know to bring your passport.
Or the little passport card.
Yes. Anything to get across the borders between the U.S. and Canada. Legally.
Legally. Dang illegal haunters in our country from Canada.
Conference is the 1st through the 3rd, and the tours are the 4th through the 5th. RoomEscapeShow.com for more info on that.
And while you're there, definitely check out Niagara Falls. I hear it's quite big and beautiful and awe-inspiring, but please do not go over it in a barrel.
Yeah.
I have it on very good authority that's a bad idea.
Yeah. What is it, like two people of the...
Hundreds that have attempted to survive
that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a ratio technically way worse than Russian roulette.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're gonna try, no, don't do that.
Don't do that. Just don't do it. And if you do it, please don't mention us mentioning it on the podcast. At least have the decency to do that.
Disclaimer.
Anyways, beyond that, we have the West Coast Haunters Convention. It's May 12th through the 14th in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. There'll be touring of Hour to Midnight Room Escape, The Labyrinth Room Escape, and Escapism Room Escape.
That's a lot of escape.
They're doing a lot of room escapes and a lot of repetition in the name. But yes, you can learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Then, June 8th through 11th, there's the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio, the greatest Columbus center. Touring the Scaratorium and others that'll be announced later. The MidwestHauntersConvention.com to find out more about them.
And get your tickets.
Yeah.
Then it's the Haunt Fair. That's F-A-I-R-E. That's August 4th through 5th. At Rankin Coma, New York, the Clarion Hotel, there is a haunted bus tour. As we always remind on this show, this is not a haunted bus attraction. It is a haunted bus tour where you go see haunted sites.
Right.
You can learn more at haunt-fair, F-A-I-R-E.com.
Although we did have a conversation on our Facebook page about doing a haunted bus.
Yes, there was a really great dialogue there. That was awesome.
Yes. Next, August 25th through the 27th, we have Halloween and Haunt Fest Show. That's in Dallas-Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center. Escape Room Trip Jason versus Tater.
Yeah, we always.
And the Walking Dead Zombie.
We always screw that. Well, I don't know if we screw it up or not.
Okay, so I think what we need to do is we need to put a hyphen there.
So I think they do. I think I copied it verbatim.
That's okay. I'm adding it so I can read it right next time.
Why are you blaming it to me?
Halloweenandhaunt.com.
Why are you making this my responsibility?
Okay.
All right, but yes.
Yes, halloweenandhaunt.com.
Okay, for more. Fair enough. So that brings us to our main topic.
Yay!
Always ending on that super awkward note.
Yeah, I know.
But yes.
About how we don't know how to talk, even though we do a podcast.
Even though we do a podcast, we clearly have not mastered the English language or any verbal communication whatsoever.
Yep.
But yes, handicap accessibility and making haunts accessible to those with various disabilities.
Right.
You know, it's very interesting, because when I started researching this topic, go on the internet, do a few Google searches, you find a lot of forum hits, Haunt Forum and a few other places.
Yeah, you do.
And the first thing you see is there are a lot of haunters with a lot of hostility on this topic.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bitterness on this one. And I understand it, but at the same time, I don't understand it in the same breath.
Right. I think it's a little unfounded and a little looking at it backwards.
I would agree with that, actually. It's a lot of looking at it very backwards. Because one of the first things that haunters say is, well, we have very few people come through in wheelchairs, or very few people come through with any disabilities.
Right.
I'm like, well, have you considered maybe one of the reasons we have so few is because it's such an inaccessible place for those individuals?
Right.
It's a chicken and egg problem.
Yeah.
And as we'll discuss in a minute, we don't have the best reputation.
No.
In the community of very disabled, various disabled communities, as we'll get into. But anyways, why is this important? First and most obvious reason,
it's the law.
It really is. Most haunts in America have to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA. Right. This is more commonly known. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. It's a federal law, but how it is enforced is dealt with locally.
Right.
So your building inspectors, your fire marshals are the ones to talk to exactly about how they will apply it to your attraction. Because first, your haunt may be exempted. If it's a historic building, it may be exempted. It may be what's called grandfathered in.
Yeah.
And we know one haunt locally is.
Yeah, or at least we assume it is, because it is in a historical building and before the time of elevators. So.
Yes, it seems highly, highly likely that it is. I don't know for certain, but I cannot fathom it not being.
Yeah.
but yes. But yeah, there are no laws, and this is something I found very interesting. There are no laws in the ADA that deal specifically with haunted attractions.
Right.
They've written them for putt-putt courses.
Yeah.
But not haunted attractions.
That's interesting.
Miniature golf, we know the rules.
Yep. Haunted attractions, we don't.
Roll the dice.
I wonder if it's because it's a seasonal thing and not thought of as a year-round thing.
I think it is, and, you know, it's kind of a bizarre thing in my mind. It seems like they're kind of adding the rules in piecemeal.
Right.
And I think part of it is might be an indication of how strong the trade representatives are and the lobbying is. Because if you're one of these groups, like, we probably would benefit from very clear guidance here.
Yes.
So
I think so.
I could see, like, a haunted attraction lobbying organization, one of the things they would be pushing on is try to get regulations, ideally favorable ones, but regulations in general for the industry.
Well, and it would be better to get regulations that are favorable for the industry rather than have regulations just given to you that might not be so favorable.
That might not make sense. And furthermore, the worst kind, and the kind we realistically have, is regulations that get interpreted very differently depending on where you are.
Right.
And that's one of the first things you do learn as you research this, is every place is wildly different.
Yes.
And it's a little bit frustrating because when people are talking past one another in these forum conversations, well, my fire marshal says this, mine says that, and my building inspector says this, mine says that, and they're all probably right, none of them are lying.
Right.
It's just, yeah, that's the first thing, is all laws are local here, even though it's a federal law. So, yeah, definitely take the time to check with your local enforcement officials to get the details for your area, what they expect from you, what they're looking for, and what they want.
Right.
And the other thing about ADA compliance here is that it does have heavy overlap with fire codes.
Right.
Your walkways, you know, if you do your walkways to be fire code compliant, they're probably going to be ADA compliant.
Correct.
You do your ramps within fire code compliance, it'll probably be ADA compliant as well.
Yeah, there's might be a little bit of difference.
There are some differences,
The real problem is stairs.
Yes.
So stairs, if your building has stairs, there does have to be a way around that.
Yes. And the stairs are one of the bigger issues, and we'll get to that. The second reason, though, I think it's important is just it's flatly good business.
Yeah.
Improved accessibility means more people can go to your haunt and enjoy it.
Right. I mean, why are you turning away customers?
And here's the thing. And I hear the haunters already, but we only had, you know, 4 people come through last year.
Yeah.
That were in wheelchairs or whatever. We only had 4 people, you know, a couple people with any kind of disabilities come. Yes. Maybe more would come if they knew it was more accessible and they were confident in that accessibility, and they probably would not come alone.
Right, because here's the thing, is that that's a small-knit community. Both of us grew up knowing someone.
Yeah.
Your brother.
Yeah.
And my aunt.
Yeah, who had various disabilities.
Right.
And we'll get into my brother and your aunt in a minute.
Yes. But, you know, thinking of that, they know their community.
Yeah.
And they have friends. So if they go and have a good experience, they're just going to be like everybody else. They're going to want to bring their friends to have the same kind of experience.
And the other thing about it is this. You and I, once again, we both had a family member with disabilities.
Right.
My family did not go to the movie theaters a lot.
Right.
We did not go a lot to movie theaters because they were not hearing impaired accessible when I was younger. They're much better now. They have various solutions to it now.
You just gave away what your brother's disability
was. I know. But my brother's hearing impaired, so we didn't go to the movie theater a lot.
Right.
And that's not the movie theater missing one ticket.
Yeah.
They're missing four.
Right.
Because we all didn't go because it wouldn't have been a good experience for my brother.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with haunted attractions. Almost nobody goes alone. And the decision of to go or to not to go to a haunted attraction is almost always a group decision.
Right.
And if one member of that group has a reason that it's not practical or appropriate for them, then the group doesn't go.
Right.
And that is a serious problem.
Yeah.
But also, and this, I think, is the big one, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we are an industry. We're here to make money. That is, you know, what we do. But we also believe in the good of this industry, right?
Well, maybe we're just naive.
Maybe we are.
But we believe in the good of it, and we think you do, too.
Maybe
the people
we
talk to.
Maybe it's the cold and the rum talking. But I still believe in the good and the heart of this industry.
Right.
And how we support the community and how we, you know, provide a valuable entertainment service to our friends and neighbors. Because there is almost no, entertainment that you can find that is more community-oriented than a haunted attraction.
Right.
There really isn't. So I genuinely do believe we do the good, and therefore I think we should try to do good for as many members of our community as we can do.
I completely agree.
So I don't see any reason why we should be turning anyone with disabilities away. And, you know, this is complicated by the fact that we as an industry do not have a very, as an industry, once again, not looking at specific haunts, there are specific haunts that have very different and have great relationships.
Right.
But as an industry, taken as a whole, we do not have a particularly good relationship with the various communities of disabled individuals.
Right.
And like, there was one article I found in my research here. It was on a blog called That Girl in the Wheelchair.
Yep.
And it was a guest post entitled Haunted Houses Do Not Enter for Fear of Poor Access.
Yeah.
And that was literally the headline.
That tells you exactly what she thought of our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Her experience was not good.
And the article was written in 2013, so some time has passed.
Right.
And some things have changed, I'm sure. But here's the thing I found really interesting. This author of this, who, like I said, was a guest post, she went out and tried to find ADA-compliant haunts.
Right.
And she only found, like, six.
Right, in the nation.
In the nation. These are scattered all over the country. And she did list them very prominently in this post.
Right.
And I found that a little weird because I thought to myself, well, our haunt is technically ADA compliant.
Yeah, and we...
We're a cheesy little home haunt.
Yeah, and people, you know, call up and they'll ask, and we go, yes.
Yes. In fact, we can provide the wheelchair if you need it.
Yes, we've had a couple of people show up on crutches. And
no, hell no.
Yeah.
Sit.
Yes.
You
we
sit.
We will push you through if we have to.
We sit, your buddy pushes, go, 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 Godspeed.
Yep.
We've done that multiple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, God, it's really frustrating. And like I said, this article, they also had an article in there I thought was interesting and might be one to look up for actors for a later topic.
Right.
Asking whether or not using a wheelchair was akin to blackface and like for an actor in haunt.
Right.
And the conclusion they came to there was that it was all about context and that think about it like, you know, wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Or, you know, making up for another, you know.
Yeah, because what if you want to be, you know, Xavier from X-Men?
Or what if you want to be like Harry, no, what was it? The president, Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah.
And what if you want to be Lyndon Johnson? Or what if you want to be Xavier? Or what if you want to be, Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, you got examples.
Yeah.
But long story short, think about it that way.
Right.
So that kicks us into wheelchair accessibility as a topic.
Yeah.
And this is the big one.
It is. It's the one we've already been talking about a little bit.
Yeah, it's the biggest and most common question haunts face when it comes to dealing with patrons and being accessible to patrons with disabilities.
Right, and it's also the one that requires the most work on the haunt's part.
Especially the most advanced work.
As far as the actual build.
Yes. Yeah, and in the most advanced work, obviously, this is something that has to be considered literally from the day you choose the space you're going to buy or lease or rent or whatever.
Right. Because it's those hallways.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, it starts from the parking lot and goes all the way through. So it's everything about that space, you have to be thinking about this. There goes that coughing again. Sorry. But yes, as we all pretty much know, and I'm pretty sure we could all put our hands on the Bible and swear to by now, you need 36 inches if it's a continuous hallway, 32 inches through doorways.
Right.
Now, we personally just do 36 inches. It's simply easier for us.
Well, and the other problem is that we have very limited space in the garage.
Yes. Yeah, we do. And now, many haunters do suggest 4 feet. Right. And I actually had a big debate about that when I was doing this research.
Right.
Because 36 inches, that's a foot difference. 3 feet versus 4 feet, obviously it's a foot difference.
Yeah.
And that's a foot that can be put used to adding more scares, adding more stuff in your haunt in general.
Right.
But on the flip side, 4 feet is a lot easier to work with panel-based layout.
It is, because your walls come in 4x8.
Uh-huh.
That's so the size.
If you're doing panel-based layout on a strict grid, that's pretty easy.
Right, and it also ensures that absolutely everybody can get through.
Yes, and actually, if I recall correctly, that even makes it accessible to motor scooters, is one of the things.
Right.
I don't know how practical motor scooter accessibility really is in a haunted attraction. I've been thinking about that one and not come up with any good answers.
I think that it's probably just as important, because a lot of people who would be in a wheelchair would prefer motorized ones. I know very few people that I've seen that use the traditional kind.
Yeah.
So, those are more for hospitals.
Yeah. But regardless, that is a suggestion that came up multiple times, was just to make your walkways 48 inches. That pretty much guarantees you're in compliance.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, if you're using your grid-based layout, it's not necessarily that bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple to do. You can have areas that are not wheelchair accessible, but you have to provide bypasses.
Yep.
And this is one of the controversial areas here.
Yeah.
Because my brain immediately goes, well, why do that?
Right.
Because one of the most precious things we all have, whether you're in a garage or whether you're in a 10,000 square foot, you know, warehouse or bigger home, your most precious thing, and as far as, you know, your land, is your square footage.
Right.
And that's the one thing you definitely have a finite amount of.
Yes.
Is square footage. And building a bypass eats up square footage that almost no one is going to use or see. Or very few people are going to use and see.
Right. But it could also be part of your egress hall.
Yes. That's true.
But then you have the issue of seeing behind the curtain.
Yeah.
You know, so that then those few people are going to see the back side of your haunt and the outer workings.
Yeah, you could do that. But you're absolutely right. It does create a problem there. So, I don't know. I mean, I get why haunts do bypasses. It's because they want that, you know, rope bridge. It's because they want that area where you duck into the fireplace. Or they want that space where you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you want that drop down or whatever. You want that one thing that just isn't handicap accessible, not wheelchair friendly.
Right.
And so you do a bypass for it. But that, it seems to me to be kind of diminishing the experience of those in wheelchairs.
Right.
And like I said, you're eating up precious square footage. Even if it is part of your egress corridor, you have the issue of getting them to the egress corridor.
Right.
You basically have a slew of minor issues, and once again, it makes it much more difficult in turn, because you're going to have a staff member show them the bypass and take them through. Now, what most haunts will do is if someone with a wheelchair comes up, they will have a staff member escort them.
Right.
That's fine and good.
Mm-hmm.
But if your haunt, through and through, is comfortably and confidently wheelchair accessible, you save on that effort.
Yeah, it shouldn't be necessary.
because you do not have a staff, do not need a staff member to guide them.
Right.
You do not have to take your actor or your, you know, front of house person or whoever it is.
Security
or whatever to guide them through.
Right.
You don't need that. And that frees that person up to, you know, do their other real main job.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, and once again, this is my experience in talking with people with handicaps, they find that type of thing awkward and uncomfortable.
Right.
Because the main thing they want to be is a patron just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And when they need an escort to look out for them.
Yeah.
That, yeah, maybe it's understandable, maybe it's appropriate, but it's something to consider and something to watch out for, because it does make the experience awkward. It adds a layer to them, to the experience that wasn't there otherwise.
Right. And they also may just be aggravated that they got, you know, had to go a different way and didn't get to see something that their friends got to.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just be really thinking about that. But yes, bypasses are an option so long as the wheelchair users get almost the same haunt experience.
Yep.
It's kind of ambiguous. And once again, like I said, no laws to a specific door injury, blah, 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 blah. But the general consensus is as long as the core experience and the main experience is still there, it's okay.
Yep.
The big problems for haunts include stairs.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this, wheelchair accessibility, I think the main change it has made in the ADA is made in haunted houses, is it has made multi-story haunts very, very unappealing.
Yes. Because then you are cutting out a large portion, or, well, a small portion that could potentially become a large portion of your audience.
You really have to deal with these things.
Well, there are also other people who just don't do stairs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So this is one of those things that might also benefit ambulatory people.
Yeah.
But still, the idea of multi-story haunts, while still there are definitely many multi-story haunts out there,
right?
It's something that's become less appealing from a haunt construction standpoint. If you have or work at a multi-story haunt, give us your feedback on this, how you guys handle it. I know the Darkness in St. Louis has a hidden elevator that you can go to. I actually read on one of the forums. Mm-hmm. They have a hidden elevator. But the problem with it is when you get to the end of the Darkness, you're nowhere near the flipping elevator. So you have to backtrack back to, because remember the Darkness, you go in on the ground floor, you go up.
Right.
Then you do the upstairs part, then you go down that really terrifying set of stairs.
Yes.
It's a, down. A terrifying, not in a good way, set of stairs, in my opinion. Down to the gift shop and all that stuff.
Okay.
And all the stuff on the ground floor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Abyss and their stairs.
Oh, God.
The spiral staircase.
You know, I do not know how they handled that one. That one was not covered by Kirchner in the post.
Right.
He only covered Darkness and Creepier. Well, he didn't say anything about how the Abyss. But my suspicion is the Abyss is a historical landmark because it's Lent Brewery.
Yeah, but I also suspect that since it was a brewery, they had to have some kind of way to get transport stuff.
True, too. So I don't know. Good point. I don't know that one. He only talked about those two. But still, but the problem is, like I said, you end at a point way away from the elevator, so you have to backtrack through a significant portion to get back to the elevator.
Right.
And that, so it's doable, but it's a little frustrating.
Yep.
So yeah, elevators are an alternative. If you're going to use ramps, prepare to make them long, baby.
Yeah, no kidding. Is,
you need 1 foot of run for every inch of rise. Now, this is what everyone knows already, and I know I'm not repeating anything up. So, basically, if you need to go up a foot...
Yes.
12 inches, you need 12 foot of ramp.
Right.
And, yeah, 12 foot ramp isn't that bad, but okay, now say you've got to get up, you know, 4 feet.
Yes.
That's 48 inches.
That's a little bit different.
That's going to require 48 feet of ramp, which is nearly impossible to do without turnarounds and landings and...
Yeah.
All that type of stuff. So, that's just something to be thinking about. And once again, think of your floor space, think of your square footage.
Right.
Be really contemplating these types of issues. Bridges are another one I see constantly.
Yeah.
I remember, this goes back to Louisiana Nightmares, back when they were open in Alexandria. Yeah. It was done by the same people that did the 13th Gate. I thought it was Nightmare Productions. But basically there, they had a very narrow rope bridges. They're kind of the little wooden, like the Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Little wooden planks.
Little wooden planks, and you can practically hear an Indy as you're going across it. But, so, yeah, stuff like that is definitely not handicap accessible. Not going to work.
No.
Not wheelchair accessible at all. Uneven floors. We talked about before we got on there, House of Shock does a lot of funhouse floors.
Right.
That is not going to work if you're in a wheelchair unless you know, you're in for a really awesome ride when it bounces up.
No kidding. Yeah.
Wheelchair hard mode.
I would think that it would get stuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges there.
Right.
To ponder. Areas where you climb up, and I've never actually been to a haunted attraction that required me to climb up or down. But I keep hearing about these attractions that do it.
Well, we've had to climb through things, like through tunnels and
crawling
things.
Zones, yeah.
Yeah.
But not like climb a ladder or
a ladder.
Yeah,
no.
But crawling zones are another one that's a problem. While we're discussing wheelchair accessibility, do not forget about your bathrooms and ticket booths.
Yeah.
Ticket booths, 36-inch counters.
Right.
That is the requirement of the ADA. In fact, that's the requirement for all counters in the ADA. Bathroom standards are way too flipping complex to ever discuss here.
Right.
But here's the thing. Since so many haunts use portalets as their main source of bathrooms, there are handicap accessible portalets. And yes, they cost extra to rent. But you know what? They're not that much extra.
Right.
Maybe just, you know, one at least. You know, at least offer one. And it's very interesting, because like I said, I was actually sitting here thinking about the number of haunts with actual bathrooms, and I came up with scant few.
Oh, yeah. No, I know whenever I go to a haunt not to expect a real bathroom.
Yeah, it's Portalet City. I think Rise has real bathrooms.
Yes.
They do. I was trying to think of anyone else, but I'm drawing blanks.
Yeah. No,
House of Shock is Portalet City. Like, literally a city of portalets.
Yeah, that are kind of scary because they're not always level.
You
walk in and it tries to tip over. It's like...
13th Gate as portalets.
They also, though, have the advantage of that casino we talked about on the parking episode.
Yes, we did.
And we'd go in there and use theirs all the time.
The casino, I don't even know the casino's name.
I know.
I would like to hereby apologize for abusing your parking, your bathrooms, and just about all of your other facilities.
We should probably go and actually look at the casino part at
some
point.
We did. HauntCon was there. Remember? HauntCon was hosted there when it was in Baton Rouge.
Okay, we still didn't see the casino part.
Okay, fair enough. We walked past it repeatedly, though. But yes, HauntCon was there, so we had done something for them, at the very least.
Okay.
But yes, I'll remember this, though, when thinking about wheelchair accessibility... It is from the parking lot to the ticket booth to and through the attraction to the restrooms and back to the parking lot.
Right.
Think about access to all those things and what you can do to improve it.
Right.
And that is very complicated for a lot of haunted attractions because it involves both, indoor and outdoor elements.
Right.
It might involve multiple levels, especially a big problem here in Louisiana, where it's oftentimes not allowed to build slab on grade.
Right.
Because of flooding issues. So you have elevated things. Even if they're only elevated like a foot or two. Once again, 1 foot run to 1 inch rise. Think about it. So a 2 foot, even if it's just a 1 foot elevation, you've got to have 12 foot ramps all over the shop.
Right, you do. And I would be curious to see how haunted trails handle this. That's going to be really important for them to get it cleared out and something laid down.
My understanding, and this is coming from what I read in my research for this, is haunted trails, since they are outdoors and not buildings and not structures, do not have to worry about ADA compliance for legal reasons or for being shut down reasons.
Yeah.
But if they want to be handicap accessible and wheelchair accessible, then yes. Good luck, guys.
That's what I was thinking of, was if they want to, you know.
If I were a wheelchair user, I would feel comfortable with Waterloo.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I would feel comfortable there, not at any of the ones in
Fright Trail and the ones in Mississippi that we went to, screw that.
Yeah.
That is impossible.
Yeah.
Or we could always, go back to that one in Mississippi we talked about with the the rise and run on the ramp that was 1-to-1, 1 inch to 1 inch.
1 inch to 1 foot.
Yeah. No, 1 inch to 1 inch. Yeah. It was a 45-degree grade.
It was. It was horrible.
I couldn't get up it, you know, on foot.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to get up that in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
But anyways, like, yeah, just all that stuff to be thinking about when it comes to wheelchair accessibility.
Right.
But we wanted to talk also about other kinds of disabilities. And one that's very important to my life, as I mentioned, is hearing impairment.
Yep.
The big physical change there, and this is something that's covered in fire code, is this is why fire alarms must have strobes.
Yes.
To alert the hearing impaired that there is a fire.
Right. So that's kind of important.
Kind of important, yes. But the most more difficult change is in trying to provide a good haunt experience to hearing impaired customers.
Right.
They are fully ambulatory, fully sighted.
Yeah.
They can find their way through a haunt A-OK.
Right.
But, yes, how do you scare the hearing impaired?
Yeah. And there were, you know, we actually talked to a couple of haunt friends about this. And they said that one time they were alerted that they had a hearing impaired customer coming through.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tip.
Yes.
If you have someone coming through,
alert the people.
So let the actors know.
Yes.
So what they did was, since his scare relied on a really loud bang,
yeah,
they had the victim go up to the group and, like, have a pleading face and trying to reach out for them.
Yeah.
And I think this was a touch haunt, so she grabbed their arms and, like, shook them and, you know, pleading face. And then he came and he dragged her away, and, like, you could see him raising a knife or something and coming down below the counter where she was dragged to. And it freaked them out.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, show's over, guys. I got nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, that's okay. A great way
yeah.
for your actors to adapt. And it's something that whenever you're training, you probably want to talk
yeah,
about, too.
Absolutely.
Because if you're surprised by it, you might not have any ideas.
Yeah. Well, and one thing to remember, though, with hearing impaired is hearing impaired does not mean deaf.
Right.
So maybe don't give up on your loud bangs completely.
Right.
Because they can still work. My brother, for example, and I'm going back to him because he's the one I'm most familiar with,
yes.
has a cochlear implant. He actually can hear very well.
Yes.
Sometimes I argue better than me. The issue is the cochlear implant is on one side.
Yeah.
So he's effectively deaf in one ear, but has very good hearing in the other.
Right. But he also got that later.
Yes.
So.
But bear that in mind, that even without cochlear implants, hearing impaired does not mean totally deaf. You may still be able to startle with sound.
Right.
So think about that. But yes, as you noted, focus on more visual scares.
Yeah. Sorry, I went off script.
No, sorry, you did. Now, one thing that I've learned over the years, and the reason I talk about the visual scares, by the way, is because if you're hearing impaired, you're used to not relying on your ears that much.
Right.
And, like, a good example, and this is something that came up in my family and I had to be aware of, was if you or I as hearing people are reading in
yeah.
a room, someone walking past the door, if you're not looking right at the door, is not particularly distracting.
Right.
It's just that's background visual information. You're not really taking it in. You trust your hearing to alert you to anything bad that's about to happen.
Right.
Jason was reading in his room. I kept walking past his door.
Yeah.
He nearly kicked my ass, or tried to at least. He was like half my size, so it would have been kind of embarrassing. But he still thought really hard about trying.
Hand on forehead.
I am the older brother, after
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I know.
So obligations remain.
Yeah.
But yeah, the point remains. And I didn't realize that would bother him so much.
Right.
But it's because that peripheral stuff
yeah.
really does impact hearing impaired people. So that's something else you might want to play with.
Right, because if you have doorways and you have the same person walking past and then they're in front of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can do stuff with the peripheral that maybe you couldn't expect a hearing person to pick up on.
Right.
Also, vibrations, sensations, smells. Vibrations in particular are very, very powerful to the hearing impaired community. The hearing impaired community, one of the ways they wake, one of their alarm clocks
right.
is a vibrating, it vibrates the bed. So, you know, think about that. That's how sensitive, get that dirty look off your face, Crystal. That is, think about that, because that means they are very sensitive to vibrations and these types of sensations. You can use that.
Right.
One thing you can do, for example, is instead of hitting a chair,
right,
hit the floor, they'll feel the vibration in their feet.
Right.
So things like that can work.
Yeah.
But as you noted, always, always tell your actors someone who is hearing impaired is coming,
right,
so they can change and alter their scares as appropriate.
Right, and it also puts more emphasis on having multiple types of scares when you're building your haunt.
Yeah, and obviously train for this too.
Right.
Visual impairment. You know, I found precious little on this topic.
Right.
You found a little more, and we'll get into it in a minute. But yeah, I don't know if haunted attractions are ever going to be, traditional haunted attractions,
right,
are ever going to be truly ideal for the visually impaired.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And that was my aunt's disability.
Yes.
She was visually impaired. I was her sighted guide at stores and stuff.
And the reason it's going to be so difficult is because haunted attractions are intentionally laid out in a confusing manner.
Right.
It's a labyrinth. Never say maze. Mazes have dead ends.
Yes, we've already gotten in trouble for this.
It's a labyrinth. Therefore, it's going to be very difficult for a blind patron to navigate it without a sighted companion.
Right.
And I cannot imagine seeing eye dogs doing well in haunted attractions.
No, because I know that when we had a dog, he had a lot of issues. Granted, he is not trained to not react.
Yeah.
But, you know, how did Conrad do? Because he went through a lot of the training. With, like, fireworks and things. Because I'm thinking the loud noises.
Yeah, dogs in general do not handle well. And service animals are more trained not to react.
Right.
But still, this is
Yeah, it's loud noises. They're going to see people being aggressive towards each other. And I don't know how much their training's going to hold.
Yeah, this is something I'd be very interested in hearing more about. Because I owned a dog that was intended to be a service dog.
Right.
For most of my childhood. He didn't actually graduate. He didn't actually move on. In fact, the reason he didn't was because he was a collie. And collies very typically have back issues with the harness.
Right.
And so he got the training part, but he could not do the physical part of it.
Gotcha.
But still, you know, I don't have a lot of insight here. Like I said, my brother was hearing impaired, not visually impaired.
Right.
So I don't have a great deal of insight here. However, there was a great article we found on Reuters here that you located.
Yeah.
Where an Oklahoma haunted house actually had a special night for blind children.
Right. Well, for
blind
patrons.
I should say blind patrons.
Yes, for patrons. And, you know, reading their reviews of it, they said that it got very intense in places because people would rush past them and brush their arms, like, really close. And, you know, there were sounds, creepy noises, and the chainsaw guy was the scariest. And I can see why in that situation.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to.
Okay.
It's
only going out to the world, Crystal. No pressure.
Yeah, I know. So I think that it might be easier on your actors to get in place and to communicate with each other if you have a not-sighted person coming through.
Yeah.
Well, because, it's like putting them in the dark with night vision glasses.
Yeah. Well, I think If you want to cater to the visually impaired, I think one of the best things you can do is set aside, like this haunt did,
right,
set aside a time and do a special show for them.
Right.
Now, I know locally there was a haunt called Chinchubas.
Right.
Which was a charity haunt for a blind school. It was a deaf and blind school.
Yes, it was deaf and blind.
Sorry.
I didn't think it was just one.
Okay. Deaf and blind school, you are correct. I don't think they did a night for the visually impaired.
Right.
But it is interesting nonetheless. So, but still, I think the ideal is to do what this haunt did. Set aside a time and plan a program around it.
Right.
You can do a lot of awesome things. In fact, one suggestion I would say, go look up old horror radio plays.
Yeah.
Go dig some of those out of the public domain vaults. I bet you'll find some really cool stuff there.
Yeah, I bet so. I've listened to a few of those.
Yeah, and some of those can get really intense and really on edge and really scary. So, yeah, maybe some cues there for you.
Right.
I wanted to touch on mental illness in general, not necessarily any specific one. We talked about this more previously, and we'll come back to it in depth later. I think this really does require its own episode.
Yeah.
The main thing I wanted to say in this context, though, is definitely consider content warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have, especially if you have things, you know, like rape or mental illness sequences or things like that that could be seen as triggering, warn. It doesn't have to be listed as a trigger warning. Just say there are scenes of X, Y, and Z in this haunt.
Yeah.
Graphic violence, you know, be open about what you got and, you know, let the people decide.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's not a spoiler to say the types of subject that matters from the haunt, no different than, like, with movie ratings.
Right.
Say this contains these subjects.
Yeah.
It's not a spoiler if you do it right.
Right.
Other potential issues you may want to consider, strobes and epilepsy.
Yeah.
I hate strobes in general.
I do too.
I'm not epileptic.
And also vertigo.
Yes, and vertigo. Good one.
Like, because, you know, Ellie has vertigo attacks, and she has had some problems in haunts because of the strobe lights.
Yes, and also vertigo tunnels, too.
Yes.
Which it's kind of in the name, I know.
Yes.
But still.
But with a person who suffers from it.
Yes, it might be.
On a fairly regular basis. Semi-regular.
Yeah, you don't want someone with vertigo having a full-on attack in your haunt.
Right. Because then you will be getting mops and buckets.
Yeah, then it gets particularly nasty. And so, yeah, be mindful of those types of issues and just something to think about. Also, interestingly enough, beware of allergens.
Yeah.
There are people who are allergic to fog machine juice.
Yes, too much of it, and I start hacking.
There are people that are actually allergic to it.
Full-on allergic, but...
I know it's supposedly hypoallergenic, but... There are people with lung issues and so forth.
Right.
That just can't cope with it.
There was also the bubble room that year.
Yeah, there was one year at the 13th Gate. They did a foam thing, a foam party type thing. And I put my hand up to, like, protect my eyes as I'm going through it. It was literally, like, 12 feet tall.
Foam. Yeah.
Like, imagine a room filled with foam that goes up 12 feet. That's what it was.
Yes.
So I put my hand in front of my face. And I noticed before I left, I had a bad rash on the back of my hand.
Right.
And the next day, it peeled.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a severe allergic reaction.
Right.
But something seemed to bother that. And it didn't bother me anywhere else in my skin.
Yeah. And it's weird because you don't have any known allergens.
Now, my immune system, and look, I'm the one that's sick. My immune system gave up on me decades ago.
Yeah.
So, like, screw this guy. He's not even trying.
Now, I will say, with the new trend of Christmas haunts, if you have live Christmas trees live stuff, for me, please let me know ahead of time
so
on your side.
So I can not go through it?
Because I'm actually very allergic and will wind up in the hospital.
Yeah, to cedar, fir, and that family of trees.
Yeah.
Which is basically like all the Christmas.
Yes. Which is why Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Not Christmas, because Halloween has never once tried to kill you.
Correct.
Never, never. So, we're wrapping this up. We're coming down to the last few minutes of our podcast today. So, yeah, I know.
I'm looking at the notes. We got a lot to go.
Yes, we do. Shut up. All right.
Well,
we got a few more minutes.
Yeah.
We got some flexibility. It's a podcast, not a TV episode.
Oh, well.
But yes, we do have some suggestions for helping the disabled and helping those with disabilities make, you know, enjoy and experience your haunt.
Right.
Item one, put wheelchair/handicap accessibility on your goddamn site, people.
Please. Cause
0 out of 3-4 haunts locally do it.
Yeah, the 13th Gate was the only one I could confirm on their site.
And even their statement was kind of ambiguous.
It was.
Ugh.
Yeah, so if you are wheelchair accessible, maybe just the little friendly wheelchair accessible sign on your webpage.
At very least, put it in your
logo.
FAQ. At least put it somewhere where someone who is wondering will search for it. And if you have a policy like, hey, you need to tell the ticket booth or whatever
that you
need wheelchair access, you know, put that on the site. Don't make them call to get this information.
Right.
That is very inconvenient.
Make note, Jonathan, put this on our site.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but no, actually, I think we do have it on our site.
Yeah, but, you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Rise, and I can't think of any reason why they wouldn't be accessible.
I think there totally are. Single story.
Yeah.
Very wide corridors everywhere. Yeah, I can't think of a single.
Yeah, and this reminds me of the advertising from your favorite advertising guy.
David Ogilvy. David Ogilvy famously did this thing where he got the contract for an airline.
Yep.
And at this time, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
Airline safety was a huge concern. Everyone was really nervous about flying.
Right.
So what he did is he said, you know, our airline is so safe. Here's the list of things we do before every plane takes off. And it's like, boom, a laundry list. We check the cabin pressure. We check the oxygen mask. We check this. We check that. We blah, 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 blah. It's like a list of 1,000 different things. And basically, it was just the it was the FAA checklist that was required of all airlines.
Right.
Everyone did it. They just had the audacity to list it in an ad.
Yeah. And then they saw sales go up. Because nobody else said, hey, we do that too. Hey,
well, hey guys, yeah, totally.
That's required of all of us. Yeah.
So think about that. If you are ADA compliant, put it out there. I don't care if you're required to do it. If you're only doing it super begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Say it loud and proud, bro.
Yeah.
You worked on it.
Yeah.
Make it part of your promotion. Get it out there. Because even if it, you know, because not only is it going to encourage more people who are in wheelchairs to come, but other people
or
will
other
feel
disabilities,
good.
Yeah.
Or supposed to, but other people are going to feel good.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, you know, supporting something that is.
Well, it's not only that, but, you know, I know that I can go through it safely.
Yeah.
If it is built so that a wheelchair can easily get through it, then I know I can walk through it just fine.
Yeah, it's a vote of confidence, and it's something that we should be really putting out there more and more and more. That blogger I mentioned for earlier should not only be finding 6 haunts that are ADA compliant.
Yeah, no, it should be easily found.
It should be easily found on nearly all the sites, and even haunts that we know from going through them.
Right.
Or easily traversed in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Easily meet the requirements.
Yeah.
They don't mention it. They don't talk about it.
Right.
They do it because it's the law and they're required to, and then they don't say anything about it.
Yeah.
Scream it!
Yeah, and I would also say not only put it on your website, but on all of those lists of haunted houses in your area that you're a part of, because, you know, you mark it, put it on there, too.
Put it in your newspaper because clippings. Put it in everything you got.
People look at those. It we look like, at those every year to see like, if there's anything new.
It's like 4 words to say, fully wheelchair accessible. Actually, it takes 3. holy crap, I forgot what I was originally saying. I just said it in 3. I beat myself. Fully wheelchair accessible. Boom.
Done.
Done. And you know what? That makes everyone feel a lot better. Just do it.
Yeah.
Get it out there. Don't just look at the ADA as something you have to do and whine about it on forums.
Right.
Do it, meet it, and then scream to the hilt that you did it.
Yeah.
Build your, you know, get some additional business from it. Yeah. Come on.
I would also do the same thing with fire code compliance.
Yes.
You know, we use fire protectant on everything in our little home haunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in our big haunt. And we have fire suppression
systems. And blah, blah, blah. Totally safe. Whatever. I don't know if that one, that might be a bit far, but seriously, the ADA stuff is so easy to include.
It is.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Get it out there. Let people know. Don't make those who need that information call you or search for it or find it in the item 22 in your FAQs.
Right.
Make it loud.
If I can't search for the name of your haunt plus wheelchair accessible
or ADA
or handicap accessible
or something reasonable.
If
Jesus
I can't
Christ.
Search for any of those terms and you come up, then there's an issue with that.
And
none of the ones except 13th Gate did.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this is possibly part of just my personal belief about how we suck at internet as an industry.
Internet and marketing in some cases.
Some elements of marketing. Yeah. We're really good at some of the like guerrilla marketing stuff, but traditional marketing we are frankly not very good at.
Yeah.
But no, this may be that part of me speaking here. I think one of the reasons we have as spotty of a relationship as we do with the disabled community is because we do look at the ADA as sort of an obligation, as an albatross.
Right.
And we don't just, you know, scream it loud and proud that we're complying with it when we do.
Yeah.
We're not putting it out there enough.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, something to think about. Just seriously, get it out there.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, place a sign about it at your damn ticket booth, too. Seriously, people.
Yeah.
I see every flipping warning you can fathom.
Right.
Don't touch the actors. Don't do this. Don't do that. Not one word about wheelchair accessibility these four. These
no.
Ones. And I actually look.
Yeah.
So put it there, too. Place the sign at your ticket booth. And include, and once again, the content warnings, blah, blah, blah. Not a bad thing to include. Also, train staff on helping and giving a good experience to disabled patrons of all stripes.
Yes.
Teach them what to do if someone in a wheelchair comes through. Teach them what to do if a deaf patron comes through.
Right.
If you have a visually impaired a night, teach what to do there. You know, give the instructions so actors know what to do in those situations.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of people aren't good at making stuff up on the fly.
Yeah. And it's and like a good example with the wheelchair thing. If you have an actor that goes down and grabs ankles,
yeah,
maybe give him a secondary scare for when someone with a wheelchair comes through.
Right, because he's not going to be able to do that.
And he might get his hands run over.
Yeah, he might. that might happen.
That could happen. That'd be bad.
Also, whenever you're testing your haunt,
mm-hmm.
Be sure to have a wheelchair to push it through. We forgot to mention that earlier.
Yeah. Test your haunt for wheelchair access.
Yeah.
What's one of the last things we do every year?
We take it through.
I call it, who wants to go for a ride?
Yep.
We usually by this point have volunteers helping us put the final touches. I grab one of them and I say, sit in the chair. I am pushing you through the entirety of the haunt.
Yep.
And we go for a ride.
Yeah.
The two of us. And I make sure, and sometimes we find something that might be a little bit off. It might be a little difficult. Make a minor adjustment here and there. Or props in the wrong place or something like that.
Right.
And you deal with it. Here's the thing. Even if you do the 4-foot walkways, even if you go to these extremes, there might still be issues. There might be floorboards that aren't perfect together. There
yeah.
might be a transition piece that's just a little bit too jutty outy or something.
Right.
It might make
or
it difficult for a wheelchair.
That's really hard to turn.
Yeah. There could be problems. There could be a prop slightly in the way that you didn't think about. You will find issues that maybe even a building inspector going through with an ADA check might not notice.
Right.
You will find things that are wrong. So, yes, get someone in a wheelchair and push them through your damn haunt.
Yep.
It really does help. It helps so much. Every year we've spotted at least one minor kerfuffle thing. We didn't last year.
No, we built really well this year.
Yeah, last year we cruised through, but every year prior, we've spotted one little niggle or one little something that went wrong.
Yeah.
Like one year, I remember we had a closet sequence.
Yeah.
And we discovered that we had something hanging just a hair too low.
Right.
And it could get caught in the wheels.
Yeah.
And so we trimmed that right away.
Yep.
So stuff like that, you know, that you can spot only if you test.
Yes.
So test.
Test, test, and more tests.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's all I've got this week.
I just want to send a real quick apology to those of you who were looking forward to the Krampus episode.
Ooh.
I have gone down a rabbit hole.
Yes.
Finding all of the Christmas horror lores of ancient past.
Yes. You should see the... usually our show notes have, 500 to 700 words.
Yeah.
Something like that when I do them. She's been working on the show notes for this one. She's already up to 800, 900 words, and
yeah.
She's only begun.
Yeah. So that's why it's not this week. I will try to finish it for next week.
Yes, we will try to get this to you before Christmas, we promise. We want
yes.
to do something special this year for Christmas. That'll be on the list of things to do.
Yes, and if you have a favorite lore that I might not have heard of, send it my way. I've heard of Krampus. That's it.
Krampus is already on the list. We've covered that one pretty thoroughly
yeah.
already.
That, and it's gaining popularity. Everybody knows about it. So
yeah,
I want to get some of the more
obscure,
unique ones. Yes, like the Yule Cat.
Spoiler for next week.
Yes.
But
or
yes.
intrigue.
Or intrigue, yes. One of the intrigue. That sounded terrible. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for putting up with me on this very sick episode of the Haunt Weekly. I appreciate you putting up with my sniffles and my coughs. I will try to be in better health next week. But on that note, anything else?
Nope.
Once again, find us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Find us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly. We thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Share this episode hither and yon. Share it like you should your ADA stuff.
Yes.
Share it just as much. But on that note, everyone, thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week.